I'm Trace Yellis, and this is The Elephant in the Dome, the official podcast of the Washington State Senate Republican Caucus. State Democrats are switching course in adopting a Republican-led homeless approach, according to Republican State Senator Phil Fortunato, who joins me now. So, Senator, you're saying much of what Democrats are now proposing was covered under your Shelter Act, which Democrats opposed?
So the object of the bill was to remove people from the sidewalks and from city parks and all these camps along the side of the highway and all that stuff. And there is a court ruling called Martin versus Boise, where the city of Boise tried to get homeless people off public property. And the court said you can't get them off public property unless there's a place for them to go. So the Shelter Act says, fine, I'm going to give you a place to go. I'm going to fence an area in. I'm going to give you a tent. I'm going to give you a sleeping bag. I'm going to provide social services, drug and alcohol treatment, mental health evaluation. And in my bill said a police presence. And I said the fence isn't to keep people in. It's to keep people out, drug dealers, sex traffickers. The police presence isn't to arrest people. It's to provide security, because the number one thing that people complain about in homeless camps or shelters is they put their stuff down and somebody steals it. We want these people to go and get a job. We want them to get treatment. So they got to be able to leave their stuff and come back and have that stuff be there. Now, the original version of the bill, which actually is still the original bill, it said, if you then do this at taxpayer expense, we provide you a tent and a sleeping bag, and you don't enroll in drug and alcohol treatment if you're addicted, then you got to leave. You got to go somewhere else. You got to go back to Kansas or wherever you came from. We can't take taxpayer dollars and continue to fund your addiction. In addition to that, it said, if you then camp on public property, it's a misdemeanor. You're going to go to jail. So that was the extra two things at the end of the bill. So we were going to, if you must enroll in drug and alcohol treatment in order to get into the facility. And you, if you then camped on public property, it would be a misdemeanor. You're going to go to jail. This was decried by the homeless advocates. 437 people testified opposed to the bill. In order to even get a hearing, I had to remove the fact that you had to get enrolled in drug and alcohol treatment. So now you don't have to do anything. And then I had to remove the fact that there would be a criminal penalty if you then camped on public property. So it was creating concentration camps. It was unfair to sex workers. It was people of color wouldn't go because there was a police presence. So that was all of the testimony. So 437 people, the homeless advocates, all decried how horrible this bill was. 1 week later, the city of Mercer Island passes an ordinance saying that we're going to give you a place to go, and if you don't go there, it's a $1,000 fine and 90 days in jail. The city of Auburn, $1,000 fine, 60 days in jail. Other cities, city of Tacoma, they were just on the news less than a couple of weeks ago, and they came up with an innovative approach. They were going to fence an area in. They were going to give them a tent. They were going to give them a sleeping bag. They were going to have social services available and, by the way, security. So they said security instead of a police presence. But in order to go there, you had to sign a thing saying you were going to do drug and alcohol treatment. And if you did not, if you then camped on city property, it was a $250 fine and 30 days in jail. Right? Now, that's my bill. They're implementing my policy, my bill. The governor turns around and says, if you camp on the side of the road, we're going to give you a free apartment. We're going to give you a free housing, right? So Senator Jeff Wilson and I, we're going to go camp on the side of the road and ask the governor, where's our free apartment? Right? So the governor then touts the fact that they're going to put these people in hotels. This, by the way, remember, after they drove the hotel industry into bankruptcy, basically, with the eviction moratorium, which extended to hotels. A lot of people don't know that. It was like Hotel California. They checked in and they never had to check out. They were running prostitution rings. They were running drug dens. Hotels couldn't get them out. People weren't going because of this homeless crowd taking over hotels. They devalued their property and then they bought these properties for homeless people. But again, they weren't requiring anything in order to get this housing. So basically what was happening is you're housing these people, you're giving them three meals a day, and you're doing their laundry, and you're giving them cable TV. Why would you not move here? So what my bill did to address this issue was say, okay, if we are going to give them a hotel room, then they had to do something. They had to enroll in drug and alcohol treatment. And if they had a job, they had to pay money. They had to pay something. If they made $100 a week, they got to pay 25% of their income. Everybody else is doing that. Everybody else that has a home is paying 25 to 30% of their income. If they didn't have a job, they had to do 20 hours of community service. And the first people that we're going to give these hotels to are elderly and disabled people. These are people that can't get a job. They can't take care of themselves. I believe society has an obligation to take care of elderly and disabled people, especially if you're a pro-life person. They get first shot. After that, pregnant women, women with kids, families, get them, give them housing. After that, if you're able-bodied and you have a job, you got to pay money, or you got to do community service. So that's what the governor was implementing in Spokane. So these are basically Republican principles and Republican bills that are being decried by the other side and the homeless advocates that are being implemented by the Democrats and are being hailed as wonderful new approaches. So that's what we're dealing with.
This is the Elephant in the Dome with Senator Phil Fortunato. So you're sponsoring a measure in the upcoming legislative session called From Homelessness to Housing. What's that all about?
So that starts off with like the Shelter Act. So it does the Shelter Act. It talks about the hotels and who gets priority. And then Senator Gildon had a bill last year that was about employing the homeless and have them doing community service and stuff. We put that in there. And then after that, we have the my American Dream Home bill. So American Dream Homes, you hear the other side decry the cost of housing, right? Oh, we need to have housing affordability, housing affordability, housing affordability. Well, when they talk about housing affordability, they are not talking about people buying single family houses. They are talking about ADUs and apartments. I was on this TVW show called Impact, and it was me and Senator Cooterer, and we were talking about that. And she said, housing means different things to different people. Some people, it's an apartment and an ADU. And I said, well, housing means to me people being able to own their own home, whether that could be a condo or ideally a single family residence. And so what the American Dream Home bill did was it said, we want to build a small starter home, 2-3 bedrooms, living room, kitchen, bathroom, that's it. No granite countertops, no bonus room, no family room, just a small starter home. You can't build that house anymore because of the cost of the impact fees, the cost of the land, the cost of the building permits. In some cases, building permits and impact fees total more than $60,000, $70,000, $80,000. For a single family residence. Now, remember, you haven't done anything. You haven't purchased a piece of land. You haven't picked out any cabinets. You haven't done anything. And in order to build this house, you need to write a check for up to $80,000 or more dollars. And that's just to cover government greed. I mean, they turn around and they accuse builders of being greedy, the greedy builders. Well, nobody talks about government greed. I mean, why are they unwilling to give up impact fees? Impact fees are taxes on new homes. So what this bill said was, if you build a 1,700 square foot or less home, and you're not allowed to impose impact fees, you're not allowed to have a building permit more than $1,250. It's roughly what it costs to administer a permit. And then the city gets to keep the state's portion of the sales tax from the sale or of the material to build a home. So the city does get some recoup. Some of that money. And then we're going to give that, we just added this year, the new version exempts them from property tax for 12 years. And that 12-year exemption of property tax is modeled on the property tax exemption that were given to multifamily units. And then you're also able to build these units outside the UGA, on the other side of the line, the urban growth boundary, because the limiting amount of land inside the urban growth boundary is what's driving up the cost. So building on the other side of the line, the land is cheaper. You should be able to build these units a lot less expensive. And that's modeled on the fact that they allow schools to be built on the other side of the line. So all we're saying is, let's give these starter homes the same benefit that you're giving multifamily homes. And let's use that same mechanism that you're using to reduce the cost of school construction to reduce the cost of single-family residences. My goal is to have people live in their own home. And the object is to move them out of market-rate apartments into a house, to move from subsidized apartments into a market-rate apartment, from a shelter into subsidized apartments, and from the street into shelters, rather than continue to build more shelters. And the other thing that we're looking into is whether or not we need a bill to allow for what's called a graduated rental rate. So, you know, when you look at homeless people, going back to the homeless issue, when you look at homeless people, you got like five different groups. You got criminal homeless. They belong in jail. Why are people allowed to go out and roam the streets and be arrested 70 times and commit shoplifting and steal things and break into people's homes and break into their cars? And they're not prosecuted. They got to be prosecuted. They got to be put in jail. The next group is the people that are homeless, but they're not criminals or maybe not caught yet. That's where the Shelter Act comes in and the hotels come in. Then the next group is what I call down and outers. These are people where, you know, through no fault of their own, a series of bad things happened. Their car broke down. They lost their job. You know, they got evicted. So now they're sleeping in their car. Those people could be handled with this graduated rental thing. So we say to them, okay, we're going to give you 2 years to get your act together. We're going to give you an apartment for $300 a month for 6 months. The next 6 months, it's $600. The next 6 months, it's $900. The next 6 months, it's $1,200. After that, you got to get out, make room for somebody else. And that would allow them to get their car fixed, to get their act together, to get some breathing room. But by the same token, we are communicating to them, you need to progress because you need to make room for somebody else. We're helping you out. We're giving you a chance to get your act together, giving you a chance to get your car fixed, get a job, do this, do that. But you got to make room for somebody else, and we're expecting you, as you progress through the system, to pay more money to cover more and more of your expense, because you got to be able to move out of this rental rate into more of a subsidized apartment, eventually into market rate apartments, and eventually into a house. That's the object. So So we want to be able to deal with these things, move them through the system, and get government the heck out of the way to allow them to be able to recover and become productive members of society.
That's Senator Phil Fortunato, and this is The Elephant in the Dome, the official podcast of the Washington State Senate Republican Caucus. I'm Tracy Ellis.